Here I am.
The power in the unseen world. He is the spirit
Because when you got something in you and God has placed something special in you, something powerful in you, something world-changing in you, when you become what God wants you to be, when you find out the more that God created you for, you become a danger to the kingdom of the enemy. That's why it's such a powerful book. But today I'm just going to talk about two. And I'm thinking about, I've been here 38 years. So I think, I just estimated, I probably, in those 38 years, at least preached Ephesians 2 about 25 times. Y'all heard Ephesians. You've been here all the time. You've heard Ephesians 2 about 25 times. I preached about two times every 3 years. So you heard it up. You heard it quite often. Because I want you to have it down pat. It's a powerful chapter. So this morning I want to talk about from rags to riches. All right. From rags to riches. Now I know pastors sometimes don't pronounce the word right, but I'm pronouncing that right. From rags to riches. Not from rags to riches. Right. From rags to riches. Rags means God's anger at sin. The way he punishes sin. God is, because of his nature, cannot just let sin go without addressing it. And when he addresses sin, it's called wrath. When you're disobedient, especially people that don't know Christ, they experience God's wrath eternally. They experience God's wrath. So how do we go from wrath to riches? That's what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 tells us. Everybody ought to want to know that. That's why I preach it so much, because I want you to know it so well that you can share it with somebody else. Because everybody needs to know how to go from wrath to riches. Now, I want to talk about two things. What we are, he's our Savior. He's our hero. He's the one that comes on the scene and changes the day when we in danger. He comes to save us. That's what the Bible says, the thing in Luke and Matthew, that Jesus is come to save us from our sin. He's our Savior. He's the one that comes to rescue us. That's what Savior means. He comes to rescue us when we are in danger. Today I want to look at this thing in two different ways. I want to look at it from what he rescues us from, and then what he rescues us to. See, he just doesn't rescue us without a plan for the rest of our lives. He rescues us from something, and then the reason why he rescues us from something is because of what he's going to take us to. So God rescues us from something, or saves us from something, and he also saves us to something. Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
Let's see where we can go. Verse 1, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Thank you. If you look at the King James, one of the old verses, it says trespasses and sin.
Yeah.
Amen. We were born D-O-A. We were born dead on arrival. When we got here, I'm talking about not physically. Physically, we were alive. That's why we're here. We were physically alive. But when it comes to our spirits, we were born dead on arrival. When you're dead, it means spiritually. That spirit, that deepest thing in us that connects us with God, was dead. So therefore, we were unable to respond to divine stimuli. When a body is dead, think about the physical. When a body is dead, it cannot respond to stimuli.
That's true.
Amen. It can't smell.
Right.
It can't hear. It can't speak. It can't feel. It can't see. There's no stimuli. There's nothing you can do to it to get a reaction because the body is dead.
Yes, sir.
It has no reaction. You can't do anything. So that's the same way we were born. Our spirits, our body was alive, but our spirits could not respond to the divine stimuli of God. God was trying to contact her, trying to get in touch with her, trying to provoke us to obedience and to know him and to love him. But we could not do that in the condition that we were born. Because our ancestor, Adam and Eve, messed up in the garden, disobeyed God, and that was handed down.
Yeah.
That's why David said, I was born in sin, in shame and iniquity. It was passed on, and sin brought death. His sin brought death to the whole world. So if you're born spiritually dead, that's where we were. And then we added that with our own sin. And so, that's where we were. Now, you see three things that were trying to keep us in that state. You used to live in sin. You're like the rest of the world. Obeying the devil.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the one thing you gotta deal with. You gotta deal with the devil. You gotta deal with the accused. You gotta deal with the enemy. You gotta deal with the adversary. There's somebody that's against you. Somebody want to keep you in sin. Because you are a bearer of God's image. He loves, amen, to mar the image where people can't see how glorious and how great the God that God is. It says, he's the commander of the power of an unseen world. He commands utter darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. If you refuse to obey God, and most times you do that because you're dead spiritually, you can't respond to God. He is the spirit that's ruling your life. He's the spirit that most influences your life because God can't get through to you.
Yeah.
Amen. So the devil, Satan, the adversary, the enemy, is the one that's influencing your life. Verse 3, all of us used to live that way.
Right.
Remember that saying, folks?
Right,
sure. All of us used to live that way. And y'all know, wait a minute. Because I got to be real. And if the truth be told,
right.
Even some of us that God has saved and rescued from that, and given the ability to have freedom from that, some of us still, there are periods and places in our lives.
Yeah, it's true.
That we still do that.
Absolutely.
We still live again. Yeah. I'm glad freedom is to know Christ. Freedom, amen, is possible because of his promises.
Okay.
Amen. And God has provision for your freedom.
All right,
all of us used to live that way, following the passion and desire and inclination of sinful nature. Sinful nature.
Yeah.
So we got an enemy that's against us on the outside,
right.
But then we got something on the inside.
Oh, that mercy.
That love what the enemy on the outside is telling us to do.
Yeah, it's true.
And then we got the world. There are three things working to keep you in the shape that you're in. The world, or the whole world system, amen, is influenced by Satan. World is people that we think about the world is the influence of all those who don't know Christ in the culture that they provide for us. Because of their influence in the culture of those that don't know Christ, those that are serving the enemy, that's the world. So we have the world to contend with. They're against Christian values.
Yeah.
They're against Christian things.
Sure.
You have the enemy, Satan himself, and who rules a whole legion of demons and darkness, they're against you. And then the enemy inside you is working against you. All three of those things are working against you. That's why you need a Savior. You need a rescuer who's able to come to your rescue. And if you live Mercy. when he showed up. Because if you don't know if it's a good person, bad person, right, good, bad, should I save him? But God, who is rich in mercy, he loved us so much that the Bible said, while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his love toward us in Christ died. That's love. He knows you, and he still died. He knows your mess. Better than anybody. Even yourself. There's some things we hide from ourselves. But he knows your mess. That even though we were dead because of our sins, he, Jesus, the Savior, our Lord, gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. When Christ raised from the dead, we have life because we have a union.
Yeah, yeah.
We're united with Christ. So whatever happened to Christ happens to us. When you follow Christ and you put your faith in him, whatever happened to Christ happens to us. We're in Christ. I think somebody said it was about 95 times we're described as being in Christ. So that means we have a union. We have a connection with him. So whatever happens to Christ, it happens to us. It's like that illustration I use so often. The branch and the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. When the tree is healthy, the branch is healthy.
Right.
When the tree is sick, the branch is sick. Christ is, amen, the tree. We are the branches. So when he, the life that's in him, when he rose from the dead, the life that was in him is communicated to us.
Yes, sir.
We have power. We have power through his life. He lives through us.
Amen.
So, whatever happened to him happens to us. Because there's a connection. But not only that, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only, y'all see that? Everybody see what I'm looking at? It is, what's that next word? Just the next word. It is only. That means you got to exclude all other possibilities. It's only one way.
Oh, all right.
He said, now this is the only way to happen. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. You haven't been, it's exclusive. How you get saved? God's grace is exclusive. You didn't get saved by God's grace and you kept it by being good. Said it's only by God's grace. That means by God's grace alone. You know what grace is? Grace is, I told you a while ago what mercy was. Mercy is when you should have got popped, should have got spanked, should have got the back end. But you got it let you out. Now, grace is, amen. When you let that word slip, let off. Let off. Big Mama gave you some ice cream. That's great. Because you look at this, she should have given you the strap.
Right,
and you got the ice cream. Ice cream is great. You got stuff that you didn't deserve. We did not deserve to be saved. We did not deserve to be followed to Christ and have the Holy Spirit in us, making us better people. We did not deserve those things. But God loved us so, for God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, who never believed in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us so much, he gave it to us as a gift. It's a great gift. He gave us salvation as a gift. And when something is a gift, you don't work for it. You just get it because the person that's presenting it to you wants you to have. Do you know how amazing that is, y'all?
Yeah. Yeah.
We are amazing.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't quite on. And gave that as a gift out.
Yeah.
I have to work for it. It's a gift. For he, I'm on six now. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. And whatever happens to Christ happens to us. All right, we say this is us. This is probably better close to us with the red sin. And this is Christ. Christ is pure. But he covers us.
Amen.
He covers us. So, but we're always together. So whatever happens, when Christ rolls, we roll with him. Y'all with me? Whatever happens to Christ, after then, he raised us on the dead of Christ and seated us with him in heaven. Now, Christ is on the right hand of God in heaven.
Right.
In a heavenly sphere. And he there, and not only he there, who else is there? We're there positionally. In other words, God is so sure. There's so much surety about us being there. That God sees us as already being there. I'm glad about that. That means, because see, some other religions, let's say other religions, they never know if they're saved or not their whole life.
Lord
have mercy. They have to go to sleep every night.
Lord have mercy.
I don't know, maybe that Lord is hopefully. I guess I did enough good today. Guess I got rid of so much bad stuff. I don't know. I'll work hard on tomorrow. You know, but they never know their eternal destiny. They never know where they're going to spend eternity. But we know.
Yes.
Because he's already there. He said, because he's already there and we're connected to him, he'll be there. That's security. See, we've got security. See, sometimes people say we're too heavenly minded, that we're no earthly good. But sometimes it's good that the people, a lot of times, have done the most on earth was because they knew where they were headed to.
Amen.
See, when you know you're saved,
you
know he's rescued you. Amen. You don't back down just because your life is in danger.
Amen.
That's why you get so like Dr. King. Hey, I may not make it. Hey, I may not make it. The thing I'm standing for, the march I'm protesting, the kind of things I'm doing, may end up being in my assassin. I may be end up being assassinated for those things, but that's all right.
Amen.
Because I'm wrapped up, tied up, entangled know they're already seated in heaven.
Yeah,
they know they've been resting. So, okay, if I lose another, I mean, hey, if I have to die, I die. That's why, you see those early Christians, his followers, getting their head cut off, going into the lion's den, and the lions, having a fight with the lions, being fed to the lions, all kinds of death, his followers face. It was dangerous to be a Christian in those days. In some places in the world, it's dangerous today. We got it kind of easy. But some places, if you're a Christian, your life is in danger. But why did Peter, John, James, all of them, willing to put their lives on the line? Because they saw Jesus, who had died on Calvary, and 3 days later, and when you see something like that, wait a minute, he's alive? And then you see him ascend to heaven after you spend days with him? You say, wait a minute, that means death ain't the end. And he's already promised me. Amen. Just don't worry about it. Don't be troubled. I'm going away to prayer place for you. Then where I am, you're awesome. So what do I have to be afraid of? People, I'm not afraid of people. I was designed to be with you. I was designed to be. There's nothing that can give me more joy, that can fill me more than being with him. So sometimes that gives, when he uses a sign, our assignment may be dangerous. Okay, it's all right. God said, do it. My life is his. Okay. I should have been gone a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I'm living on borrowed time.
Yeah.
Robbed at gunpoint. I should have been gone that day, but I'm still here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Many times I fell asleep on the road. I should have been gone, but I'm still here. Because I got an assignment. And when my assignment time is up, I want to be with
you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir.
See, when you really know you're saved.
Amen. Amen.
You want to be with you. Say, hey, have to die. Yeah, okay, yeah. I know I have to die sometime. The Lord has given me the caveat, but I'm gonna be with you. But in my last few minutes, just let me be the kind of person that can draw us and still have joy and go out with a praise on my life. Go out with a praise on my life. Go out with hands lifted, covering all the good you've done for me.
Yeah.
All the time I've been here.
Yeah.
We are already seated with Christ Jesus
in
the heavenly realm. So God, this is why God saved. This is why God saved us. Using a message, self-saved. So God can point to us in all the future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ. That's what he's going to do. That's why he saved me, Judy. Because all the ages, you want to see how good God is, how great he is.
Yeah.
You remember Judy before I saved, before I changed?
Yeah.
Now look at her.
Yeah.
She's experiencing the wealth of heaven.
Yeah.
Look at what she's become.
Oh,
to know how much I love you. It's going to take all of eternity for us to really get how much God loves us. Remember, we were dead in trespasses and sin, disobedient, bad on the inside, in the world on the outside. We should have been headed for eternal damnation. But now, stepped in our message. There's a message. Now you're pointing. Say, look at that boy there.
Look at
it. I've changed him. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. me say that again. Salvation is not a reward for the good thing we have done. Wait a minute. Salvation is not a reward for the good thing we have done. So none of us can boast about it. You got nothing to boast about. My only boast is in His greatness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how great He is. Not in anything I've done, but in Him.
Yes, sir.
My only boast is to praise and give Him because He's great.
Yes, yes, sir.
Yes.
In Christ alone, I put Him in trust. Every victory I've had is because of Him. He's everything. He saved. I did not save myself. For we are God's masterpiece. The Bible says workmanship, but it's masterpiece is a better term. Comes from the Greek word called ema, which where we get our word poem. It's a poem is a masterpiece by that writer, performed it. We are God's masterpiece. He made you a masterpiece. You're God's masterpiece. But folks say you ain't about nothing. Point out all the reasons why you're not enough. You're not woman enough. You're not man enough. You're not this enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not this. You're not athletic enough. They're always pointing out why you're not enough. With folks pointing out why you're not enough. You say, wait a minute. I've been created in Christ Jesus. I'm a masterpiece. You better know your own identity. The Bible says, I'm enough. God's masterpiece. He fashioned me.
Yes, he did.
He fashioned. And He fashioned me for purpose. Master, amen. I'm the masterpiece. God's masterpiece. He didn't look at next. He had created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Before you were born, He had a plan for your life. When he saved you, He began to form you, get you ready for that plan. So you take the masterpiece, and then you put the masterpiece into the master's plan. Y'all hear that? You take the masterpiece, God fashioned you for something. He's making you for something. You put the masterpiece into the master plan, and then you begin to master the possibilities.
Amen.
Put the masterpiece into the master plan, and you master the possibilities. All the things that God has, he said, hey, your promise, your possibility, amen. Your promise with a capital. Never find that their whole life is wishing. You can be a millionaire in Beverly Hills with a fine mansion, cars everywhere, and still commit suicide because you never had the opportunity to be a masterpiece, put in a master plan, master in the possibilities. It's rich. It's richness. That's true richness. Because true riches is not how much you have, it's how much you give. And when you're imagining the possibility, you're giving so much to your world and all around you. And true riches is not how much you give, but how much you give. A millionaire is not how big a millionaire, being a rich person, being a great person is not how much comes to you, but how much comes from you.
Yeah.
I'm glad he
saved.
Amen. Welcome to God.
Yes, sir.
Somebody needs surrender. Say, God, I'm not doing this thing right. But I surrender today. I'm not doing it. God, you saved me. You rescued me.
Yeah.
I was on my way to a hash church. But God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
loved us so much.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He went to the cross to pay the price for our sins. Oh, Jesus. Ain't it good?
Yes.
Every time I just think about seeing him one day, seeing his face, amen. Oh, I just want to see my Jesus. It all be over down here, but it'll be just beginning up there.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank what a wonderful day that's going to be.
Yes.
So I'm glad he saved me, but not only saved me, you know, it's good to be saved. It's wonderful to be saved, but then you think about your other loved ones and friends that you're saved. And being able to share with them throughout eternity. How special it is. How special it is that God is. So that's why, if you know someone that's not saved, again, pray for them. Share with them. Try to get them. But we all want to get together on that great getting up moment. Amen. That's what he died for. That's what we remember today. Now, he said each time we go back and look at what happened to him on his Friday out of his torture, and then found it in the cross. And on the cross, he was crucified. He died for us. And we know later he rose again. We're remembering all that today. He said, as we remember, we want to think about our own lives. Whatever in your life, listen to me. This is what it brings to take up and worthy.
Yes.
That means you've got to live into your life. You've got to take a serious inventory in your own life. And see the places where you're out of line. You're out of alignment with what God would have you to be. Amen. What he would have you to do. Maybe you had some losses. Amen. You had some failures since the last time. Hopefully, we don't wait till the first Sunday every month. Hopefully, you've asked for forgiveness and be renewed, repenting, and turning around and getting back straight with God as quickly as possible. Get back on the right road. But this is the day we do this thing corporately for one another. So, we'll give you a couple moments to silently bow where you are. Try to get that thing straight out with God. Share it with him. He knows already. He's not going to surprise him. He's not going to be shocked by it. He said, God, I just need help here. I've been messing up here. Help me. Help me. You must save me, my rescue. I need to be rescued from this thing. I'm going to turn to you. I'm turning away from you to turn to you so you can help me to overcome. If you need something else to overcome, just lead me and guide me. Whatever it takes to be in your will, whatever it takes to follow you in a way that the world can see how great you are. I'm willing to do that. So take a couple moments. Realizing what these elements represent, the unliving bread, sin is life of Christ, his body that was given for us, the fruit of the vine and the blood that was given for the remission of our sins. And as we partake of it, we're saying, God, the only way we can effectively and really live a Christian life and be your followers is by living in us by your Spirit and empowering us to live a victorious life. With that in mind, we may now take eat and then drink. I'm not going to have an envelope. I have time to put it in the envelope. stand with us. You know how good God is, how gracious He is, how much He loves us. Share that with somebody this week. Don't be anxious. Just share it. Don't try to hold something simple. Just share it kindly with a smile. How good our God is. And they will allow you. Now unto Him that's able, presented before our Father's throne without fault. May the love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit our Comforter rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let's say together, Amen.